morning, honourable members, Professor Jihad and the team from the budget office, and all staff members. Honourable members, we convening this morning to receive a report, the pre-budget briefing from our budget office. We have requested the director to do this presentation today before the budget is tabled, and there will be another interaction with this team after the budget has been tabled to get analysis of that budget in line with the expectation in terms of the money bills. So we had indicated to our colleagues in the National Assembly that if they do have time, they can join us, Prof. And unfortunately, Honorable Sokoni has got an engagement, a meeting now running, and some members of Finance Committee might be joining us during the proceedings. I spoke to the whip of the committee. But nevertheless, some other meetings will be arranged in the National Assembly where the same report will be presented to members. So you are all welcome, honourable members. We have also invited the finance chairpersons from the provinces, and with us today we've got the chairperson of finance from Gauteng, Honourable Khumalo, and the chair of finance in the Free State, Honourable Van Rooyen. You are welcome, chairpersons. So I would allow Professor Jihad to introduce his team and to immediately thereafter then take us through the report. Prof, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, ladies and gentlemen. As you indicated, Honorable Chair, let me introduce the team first to you. My name is Mohammed Jihad and I'm the Director of the Parliamentary Budget Office. On my right, I have Mr. Rashad Amra, who is our economist, Dr. Mapula Sekatani, who is one of our senior policy analysts, Mr. Alfred Munakotla, who is the office COO, and Ms. Nelia Olandi, who is also one of our senior policy analysts, all of them with extensive experience, Honorable Chair, in finance and economics policy development. And as you know, Honorable Chair, we are in the process of staffing the budget office, which is, of course, your budget office. So we are here to support you and service you. You are our clients. And this is the first amongst many of the support, hopefully, that we'll provide to you going forward. Honorable Chair, if it's fine with you, I could then proceed and try not take up too much of your time as well as we go through. And I don't know if you'd like to ask questions after or during the presentation. Thank you.
After, Prof. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, then, going into it, may I take this opportunity then to thank you very much for this opportunity to present to you a pre-budget briefing. Is it okay? Yeah. Thanks. The briefing will take the following form in terms of our outline. We'll look at the objectives of the briefing. We will provide you with a global economic review and outlook, a South African economic review and outlook. Of course, we'll also provide you with a review of the fiscal situation. Importantly, honorable members, is that we will also try and link for you the budget to policy frameworks that have been adopted. And of course, one of them critically is the National Development Plan. We will then also ask and present to you some of the risks that we've identified. And critically, honorable members, honorable chair, is that we've developed a list of considerations which we hope that you will take in your committees, and when the budget is being presented or to you and you are reflecting on it, you can then use some of these issues to analyze the new budget that is coming forward. So there's a list of questions, issues for consideration, which you can then use to tease out in addition to the new issues that you could raise as the presentation progresses. Chair, again, let me make it very clear that our key objective here is to provide you with a framework of analysis to address the new budget that you are going to face, that is now going to be presented to you. And we trust that this information will allow you the opportunity to address the issues arising from the new budget that will be presented to you. So we hope that this information provides you with a basis and a feedback for tackling and analyzing and assessing the new budget that will be presented to you going forward. So what we will do in terms of our objectives is we will provide you with a review of the global and economic trends that influence budgets. And I think, honorable members, you need to understand that one budget that is presented does not give you the full picture. It's the totality of the budget since 94 up to now that gives you the total picture of where the budget is going to and what you're going to expect. So any analysis of the budget can't be short-term. It has to be a long-term analysis. So what we will do for you is track the key policy developments and economic and fiscal developments since 94 up to this present period. We will then highlight to you the key trends, the policy economic trends, and the trends, honorable members, that have implications for the budget and questions that you need to ask as the budget goes forward. And then, as I've indicated to you, to highlight issues for consideration, questions that you need to ask going forward in this regard. Honourable members, maybe just one point that I'd like to raise as well. In our presentation, we've tried to also periodize our analytical framework. So we've periodized it, Honourable Chair, according to the four terms of Parliament. And then the fifth term is the kind of forecast going forward. So that will give you an idea as to what policies and the economic and fiscal trends that had resulted as the policies were developed during those four periods. And this is a crucial aspect, honorable members, is that as I've indicated, the long-term view needs to be considered. In addition to that, you need to consider what policies have influenced, where the budgets have been allocated, and what potential future implications there will be going forward. Honorable members, let us start with the global economic review. And we start with a typical economic indicator, which is GDP, or economic growth, which I'm sure you all know. Let me start by saying that economic growth measures two issues only. Economic growth, or GDP, measures growth in incomes and growth in production, nothing more. So it's an indicator of growth in incomes and growth in production in the economy. As we note from this graph, honorable members, and if you scrutinize it, and I hope it's clear for you all to have a look at, economic growth, as you note, has been very sluggish over the periods. If you look at the boxes that are attached to the slide, to the graphic, you'll also find that at certain periods in time, there were certain crises which hit the global economy. So if you look at the first period, you will find from 94 to about 2000, you will note that the Asian crisis, fiscal crisis, hit the global economy, and you see the definite peak going down there. If that's, you'll then also see that during 2008 to 10, we had the global financial crisis, which of course we're still suffering from. And as that picked up, we also noted that growth continues to be a bit sluggish going forward. What is interesting to note here, honorable members, is that the South African economy mirrors what is happening in the global economy. And I'm not going to make the recommendations or the allusions to this, but you can do it yourself. But obviously, you know, it indicates that the South African economy is part of the global economy, that we are influenced by global events, whether positive or negative. And clearly this is seen from the graph that we indicate up here. So broadly, honorable members, growth has been sluggish, as you can note. What is interesting to note is that South Africa and the developed economies have not been doing too well. The emerging economies have been doing a bit better, if you look at the slide. So they've seemed to have weathered the crisis more appropriately, if I could use a better term, than South Africa or the developed economies have done. So there's a potential lesson for us, and I think a potential question for you, honourable members, to address when the budget is being presented to you in this respect. What this also means, honourable members, if you look at the potential forecast in the last period, and on top you'll see a box there with forecast, is that we do expect growth to be sluggish internationally. And South Africa's growth by extension will also be sluggish in this respect. What does this mean for us? In terms of our economy, there'll be slower exports, or the demand for exports will be sluggish. Importantly also, I think investors will probably not look towards the South African economy, unless we of course do something. But they'll probably look outward, and mainly I think to the emerging market economies in this respect. So there are implications for our economy, for our growth, for our balance of payments, and as you know, balance of payments, exports minus imports, and also for the debt levels, which we'll address as we go forward. So I think, honourable members, here are some critical issues that you need to address in terms of the broader global economic situation, which is going to influence the coming budget. Honourable members, this graphic is very interesting. As I've indicated to you, in terms of the time scale, if you just give this a glance, it's not that difficult to read. But if you give it a very quick glance, you'll find that for the first period of growth, in terms of the South African GDP or economic growth, we see the Asian financial crisis, 94 to 99, 2000. And you see what policies have been introduced during that period, honourable members. This is critical. So we had the RDP, if you remember, from 94. And we also had GEAR during that period. And you see some stabilization in that period. You see some growth. And then you see us being hit by the Asian financial crisis in around 99. Yeah. So there's been a bit of stabilization during that first period. The next period, as you notice, is we now started to place the economy on a stabilized footing, and we saw this amazing budget surplus, if you look at it, and you see that graph going up there. And you can see, as we had the budget surplus, we also introduced ASGISA, if you remember, the whole issue between the first and the second economies. And this kind of issue also ensured that we saw growth in the South African economy, and we saw surpluses in our budget, which was amazing for that period. The next period, Honourable Chair, if you notice, the third period, is where the global financial crisis hit us. And you could see growth falling right down to about minus 2%, more or less. And you remember that period in the South African economy, where we had the sluggish growth, etc., and basically negative growth, and people said we're now in a recession. And these were the issues that hit the South African economy. During that period, of course, we continued with the first and second economic framework, with ASGISA, and the programs and policies, which I'm sure you're all very familiar with, that ASGISA introduced. So the question to ask here, honourable members, is, are the policy responses appropriate for these periods that we're going through? From the RDP, GEAR, to ASGISA, the first and second economies, has it been appropriate? Has it weathered the storm for us? Has it addressed our economic growth in this period? And therefore, the slide is so important, honourable members, because it mirrors economic indicators with our economic policy for you. The third period, honourable members, as you notice, or the fourth parliament, as you notice from the slide, is where we now introduce the new growth path, the industrial policy action plan, the National Development Plan, which we now have, and we see a bit of growth occurring. The financial crisis is still affecting the South African economy. But we see that some of these policies, which are starting to be implemented, kick-starting a bit of sluggish growth. And we hope that going forward, these policies, as we project the dotted line, as you can see, which is the forecast, we project that there could be a bit more sluggish growth happening, but at least some growth going forward. Again, the question you should ask is, what are the policy implications? Are these the correct policies? Because too few of us, honourable members, ask the question, does the budget reflect the economic policy that we prescribe? Because the budget is nothing more than the financial expression of your strategic plan. So I think these are the questions you need to ask ourselves, whether we be at the national, provincial level, or even local government level, for that matter. So interesting issues I think we need to talk about here and take forward, honourable members. Just to point out to you that National Treasury is forecasting, I think, some growth. Whether that will occur and whether the financial crisis will continue to impact on the South African economy, especially what's happening in the U.S., and you know the term quantitative easing, where the U.S. basically has been pumping money into the economy to stimulate growth, and because they stimulate their economies, the multipliers for the rest of the emerging world is supposed to be positive. They've tapered off on that, and that could impact the South African growth scenario. Honourable members, the next slide, very similar as well, and again, I want to emphasize to you, colleagues, the link between policy and the economic indicators, which is critical. I think for too long, we've only been focusing on the numbers and ignoring the policy frameworks over a long term. And I hope, colleagues, as we, honourable members, as we're going through this, is you are starting to pick up issues that the next budget will probably start to address as we go forward. If you take revenue and expenditure, or the fiscal outlook, in terms of this review, the analytical framework compares the fiscal stance and the policies with revenue and expenditure, as you can see in the graph. What does this show us? If you look at the bottom graph, honourable members, the red indicates to you the budget's deficits or surpluses that we face. Most of the time, the graph has been down, so you see we face budget deficits all the time. And of course, this has implications for our debt in South Africa and for sustainability. Of course, the big thing is, do we have enough money to spend because of this deficit level on priorities, on new opportunities, on new objectives that we face going forward? So if you notice from the graph, honorable members, from 94, we had the RDP, and here there was massive increases in service delivery, so you see a bit of upward movement there. We had 96, where we had gear, so this stimulated growth a bit. Of course, don't forget that we also had the crisis, the Asian financial crisis, which we addressed. Of course, also from 96 to 2000, there was a fundamental reshaping by government of intergovernmental fiscal relations, as you know. And this was, of course, in line with the Constitution. So provinces, national and local government, and the fiscal relations between those three tiers of government were introduced. We also had the PFMA, and we had a modernization a bit of the public sector. Honourable members, I think this point is important, is that the reform of the financial space or the fiscal and economic environment does not occur on its own. Lots of studies have indicated that if you really want to reform the economy, reform of the economic and fiscal environment goes together with reform of the public sector. And I think you can see some of the reforms of the public sector with the PFMA, if you remember Batopelo, etc. There was an attempt to reform the public sector in line with reforming the economy. And this is a critical point I think we need to note going forward as well. Not just the issue of the wage bill. The wage bill is only one issue. I think the reform of the public sector to deliver is critical. To give an example, honorable members, South Africa involvement in the economy, measured as a percentage of GDP, government expenditure as a percentage of GDP, is around 29-30%. In France, it's 60%. In Germany, it's 70%. In Australia, it's 70%. So the government's involvement in those economies are massive. In the US, 65%. And the reason it is so massive is because you have a public sector that can address those challenges. So it doesn't mean that, you know, South Africa needs to stay at 30%. Or that we're becoming a socialist economy. But if you want to increase government expenditure as a percentage of GDP, you need to reform the public sector to deliver on this. And I think, you know, that's an issue you need to take forward as well. in this process. Honourable members, the next slide, again just following on, which is critical as well to give you an indication of details on expenditure. As you note, honourable members, there has been high expenditure, and of course that's been because of the World Cup and the push for infrastructure. You notice a tapering down from about 11% to 3.2%. And remember, there were issues of the crisis, the tapering down of infrastructure development through the World Cup. And now I see, and you see, that because of limited growth, because of the limited fiscal space, we're tapering down to even 2.2%, which shows that we have very limited fiscal space for spending in this regard. So here's a concern for us, honourable members, is that we have a smaller envelope now of money or resources to actually start spending on development, which is mainly infrastructure development. And this is going to be constrained going forward, as we notice in this case. Thank you, Rashad. Honourable members, linking to spending, and you all know this is an issue which is a big topic in South Africa at this moment, is the exchange rate situation. We all know that the rand has taken a beating. This graph indicates to you where the beating comes from. The global financial crisis has nailed us as well. The rand, honourable members, is, and I think here's an issue which I think we need to consider, more so than whether the rand goes up or down, is not the point. The point is that we have a very volatile currency. And it's very difficult to stabilize our currency. And what are we doing, honourable members, to make sure that our currency is stabilized, that we reduce the volatility in this situation? And of course, as you all know, to reduce the volatility, you need to have good macroeconomic policy, you need to have good fiscal policy, you need to have the appropriate political environment, you need the right public sector, etc., etc., etc. Because this is how the value of the rand is determined. And this is how the volatility of this currency can be negated as well. So what are we doing as a country, honourable member, Chair, through our budget process, through our policies, to address this currency volatility? As you all know, we're part of the Fragile Five. Turkey, India, Indonesia, Brazil, ourselves. And the reason they say we're the Fragile Five is that we have these massive current account deficits. We are influenced by the tapering of the quantitative easing in the US. Our currency is very volatile. So we grouped with this group of countries that are called the Fragile Five that gets affected by these issues. And what do we do as a country, again, honorable members, to address these issues? And what's the policy responses that we follow? So the point, again, honorable Chair, that I hope I'm getting through is that one budget does not address everything. It has to be a process, and I've indicated you from 94 to now, and what is this last budget for this fourth parliament going to show to us and to take in cognizance in this regard. Thank you, Shah. Honourable members, another key indicator is inflation. You know that we've experienced high inflation in the 80s and 90s. You also know that, and this is a critical point, members, which I think you need to take cognizance of. South Africa introduced and adopted the inflation targeting framework as its monetary policy framework. You hopefully are aware of this. And this was adopted in 2000. So our official monetary policy is inflation targeting, where we have a band, 3 to 6%, and we try to maintain inflation in that band as we go through. As you know, we've breached this band numerous times. As you notice, there's only been, a certain period where we've stayed within the band, but for a very limited time. At this point in our history, we're still within the 3 to 6% band. But this adds also to our currency volatility. It also adds to, of course, naturally prices and so forth. But it also adds to the fact that inflation, honourable members, is the inflation targeting framework is a very blunt instrument in terms of addressing you know, inflation or interest rates. It's a very blunt instrument in addressing interest rates. And that's what we've done so far. We've used interest rates to maintain the band between 3 and 6%. And as you know, there's been discussions, not only by COSATU, but also by the private sector on whether we should increase this band instead of 3 to 6, but 3 to 9 or 12%. The other important issue, honorable members, to note, which I think we need to exercise oversight as well, is that monetary policy has one objective, and that's to protect the value of the rand. You know, to make sure that inflation is in bounds and to protect the value. Internationally, there are normally two or three objectives that go with monetary policy, and Dr. Sekatani will attest to this as well. Either you have a secondary objective, which is that monetary policy addresses growth. So while you're looking at containing inflation, you also have a secondary objective, which is to address growth or unemployment. In our case, we don't. We have a very conservative monetary policy, which says you will maintain inflation within the band, and the role of the Reserve Bank is to address the value of the rand and to protect the currency, which I don't know, according to our graphs, and you make your own judgments whether we've been successful in this or not. So is there a need now to introduce a secondary objective, which is a debate I think we need to get going? It started in the first parliament and it's since tapered off, and I think we need to reintroduce this when the budget is presented again, or at least raise this issue going forward. Just go back, Rashad. Honourable members, it's interesting again to note that, and I don't want to make a correlation here, but as inflation goes up, the rand goes up as well, if you notice, between the two graphs. You know, whether there's a correlation or not, I'm not going to judge on it, but, you know, with your expertise and experience, I'm sure you can make up your mind here. But there is an effect. There is an impact that you need to take cognizance of in this regard. Thanks, Rashad. Honourable members, just coming back again to this link between economics and policy, which I hope you've got a broad trend of. What my colleagues have done is they've taken the National Development Plan, Honourable Chair, and we've allocated it to the 2013 budget according to the objectives set out in the National Development Plan. So if you note from here, you will see that priorities will probably be allocated, budget priorities will probably, or budget resources will probably be allocated according to the National Development Plan. And this has to be so, because we've adopted this plan as our strategic framework. So if it doesn't link into the National Development Plan, and if resources are not allocated to it, then something's wrong, Honourable Chair. Either we've not accepted the NDP, or we've taken some other strategic plan as our framework going forward. So I think that's another issue you need to bonnet as well, is according to what policy framework is the budget allocated, and according to what strategic policy framework is resources allocated to scarce needs. And here's a good example of what one of my colleagues, Nelia, has done, is to allocate the budget to these different priorities in the NDP. Again, honorable members, the budget is the financial expression of your strategic plan. You can't allocate the budget by sucking thumb. It has to be allocated according to some process, some strategic plan, some policy. And here we've assumed, Honourable Chair, we've assumed that the NDP plays this role of guiding the process. Because the NDP does capture the new growth path, it captures IPAP, and all other policy frameworks that we have in our country. Thank you. Honourable members, so what's the outcome of all this processes? And some more questions for you to raise as well. At the global level, there are certain risks. Obviously, slower global economic recovery is clearly on the cards. We don't expect that we're going to see any massive miracles happening. There is the tapering down of quantitative easing in the U.S. There will be lower demands for SA exports, which of course is bad for current account, and of course our commodities. And honourable members, remember South Africa still is a commodity economy. And this poses a problem to us as well. So either we do something about the commodities, we add value, or we shift a gear in the economy towards manufacturing etc., or adding value to what we have in our economy. So these are the global risks we face. The domestic risks, honourable members, from the presentation that we've done to you, and again that I just pique your interest in this process, I've indicated to you, honourable members, through the process and through the trend, that there has been policy uncertainty. I mean, you know, from 94 to now, we've had numerous policies guiding us. And do we now agree on one policy that takes us forward as a country and we develop a common vision in this? There's also big policy discontinuity. I mean, very few of us remember the RDP or ASGISA or the first and second economies. Very few of us, we have very short memories. In coming, we develop policy, honourable chair, but we've got short memories. You know, I'm sure in the next parliament we'll probably forget about NDP as well and something else. But tongue in cheek, honourable chair. We also have labour unrest. There are service delivery protests. We have infrastructure bottlenecks, as you know. Infrastructure spending has been slow, and I hope we pick this up in the budget as well, honourable members. Inflation, debt, honourable members, is a big issue for us. Not only country debt, but also individual debt. And what do we do about this? We can't have... I think the Business Day a few weeks ago, honourable chair, reported that on average South Africans are totally or indebted up to 10%, which is a huge number, you know, in terms of individual debt. And what do we do about this in this case? Our exchange rate, our currency, is very volatile. And we need to address this through proper oversight of our Reserve Bank, of our monetary policy, and some of the considerations that I told you or informed you about. So these are some of the risks, honourable members, that I think you need to take cognizance of and raise when this new budget is presented to you, honourable chair. Honourable chair, again, from our side, some questions for you, and as I say, The budget office is your office. I mean, we're here because of you. We're here to support you. And this is our duty, is to highlight to you what the environment is about and also highlight to you what issues you need to consider. I'm not going to go through all these questions, but these are some thoughts for you to follow up on. And hopefully some of the issues that I've gone through you will have picked up as well and add to this. And, of course, your own views going forward, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, thank you very much for your time and for the opportunity. And we hope and trust that, you know, your budget office will be utilised by you and that in future we could, of course, you know, present and do more of this kind of work for you and, of course, more poignant work which you think is relevant. Thank you, Chair, for your time and Honourable Members. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Prof. That's the story on our members. Thanks very much, Prof, for the review and analysis made. It's quite interesting. It's time for questions on our members. I welcome our colleagues from the National Assembly and Honorable Mabe from Northwest. You are welcome. Honorable Makubela, Honorable De Beer, Honourable Mashile, Honourable Liz, Honourable Joseph, Honourable Van Rooyen, all in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Prof, thank you very much for the comprehensive briefing and the guiding. Which I would like to, just for the sake of clarity, I see the allocation of the linking of the 2013 budget with the NDP. NDP. When I check to public order and safety, it has been allocated 9.3%. What formula did you use? Because all that this department, if there's a problem, it's a spillover to public order and policy for years. Well, can you give us clarity on that? Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I'm very grateful for this interaction with the newly established budget office. This is a first formal engagement between Parliament and the Budget Office, between this committee and the Budget Office. So that's a very positive development, and we wish Professor Jahat and his team well for the future. I would also propose that he's busy with the expansion of the Budget Office, but to come to the assistance of local government to train councillors to do analysis of budgets. Because that's where we actually start. When money is allocated to the action plan, then you must start spending and do something about it. We just went through the exercise, and we will complete it tomorrow with the provincial treasuries appearing before the Select Committee for Finance. And it's very clear that spending on infrastructure is very, very slow. That affects growth. That affects jobs. The budget cycle stretches over 3 years. And there will have to be, and at a speed, a training to teach these people in provincial and national departments to plan at least 3 years ahead. And not like you get in local municipalities, the only thing about next year. But they leave the outer years for the future. It's wrong. And when they appear before your committee, they are in trouble. So we must get to the crux of this thing. We can make projections, yes. But we must get to the crux of this. And that brings me back to training as well as the role of SALGA. That's regarding the infrastructure, the spending, and the planning of the 3 year cycle. Just a remark, Chairperson, I haven't got questions. It's interesting to see where we were in 1994 with the total revenue of South Africa of 112.4 billion rand. That was in 1994. The expenditure was 137 million rand. It will be interesting if the Budget Office can make that analysis for us. Leading up to budget when we get the briefing from the Honourable Minister of Finance. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. I think what the first thing I just wanted to know whether the Budget Office has interacted with National Treasury. And why I'm asking this specific question is to determine whether the basis of this report will be the same basis that National Treasury will produce the budget. I'm referring to data, because surely if we are actually putting up the economic outlook, but based on different data, surely you'll arrive at different outlooks. So I just wanted to establish the kind of linkages that this office is having with National Treasury. This one probably is a request, whether it is possible that after every graph that we have here and have a narrative of a page or two that talks to this, because I'm sure he has spent a lot of time speaking to us, and the things that he has spoke to us, you can't read it from the graph itself. It's an interpretation of what is on the graph. If we can have the same document with the same graphs, but with a narrative of a page or two that some of us that did not enjoy graphs at school, then we can be able to follow what is happening. Then the question that I wanted to raise, Chair, is on we also have a problem of no page number. Oh, it's page 4. Page 4 and 5. On page 5, the graph that is on page 5, it looks like it's the same graph that is on page 4 in the middle. It looks like it's the same. I just need clarity why then we have got different headings on it. The other one is gross domestic product. The other one is gross domestic product growth. Just to have an understanding why then it is different names. But then from the budget office, I would have liked to have the forecast where they have National Treasury forecast on page 5. I would have loved to see yours, not National Treasury alone. How do you see these things moving forward? Because surely when you look at those forecasts of National Treasury over the past 2-3 years, then it shows some unreliability of their forecast. Therefore, what will then be yours? And then the second question, of course, is the exchange rate of the rand superimposed on this particular graph. What sort of story can a person get from your office?
Is it a good story?
Usually, it may be a good story, but it just needs to be put on paper so that people can see how good it is. I think that is what I would have also loved to see. And then when it comes to inflation targeting, you seemed to say we must make the guess. I would have also loved to know your guess on our performance in terms of this inflation targeting. And what is your advice? So that when we come across the budget itself, and then we should be knowing what we're going to do. Chairperson, the last thing is maybe a small little explanation. You're saying we must expect a low demand for South African exports, but when our rand is tumbling, and whether you can actually just clarify to me, because I thought that it may be cheaper to get our products outside, and when our rent is going down like this, and why is he saying that no, there will be a low demand? If I can just get that specific explanation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one or two questions that I'd just like to put in. My apologies, Professor, for being a bit late. I want to type with what my colleague has said about the projections that Treasury has given, and we know we've got the budget coming up next week, and I'd like to get an indication of what you think are going to be the projections for GDP, for the budget surplus. Let's talk about the budget deficit. Do you think that it will be in line with what the medium-term budget policy statement said, given the weakening of the rand since that date, and what impact will that have on revenue collection? I think it's very important for us to get an idea whether your model is similar to that of what Treasury is using. And that's where I think, as we engage further, that is where you as an office will be very helpful to us. And then, of course, going forward, the projections for GDP growth, because when we consider our debt consolidation path, we need to bear in mind whether that is in line with what Treasury is saying. Is it sustainable? That, of course, the three principles that Treasury gives us about debt sustainability, is it realistic what the Treasury is telling us will be the GDP growth given these occurrences that happen, like the sudden weaknesses of the rand? We need to know where we're heading to in the next few years. So thank you very much for that, Chairperson.
Honorable Kumal, was your hand up? No, Honorable Joseph. Honorable Joseph.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want to make the comment on the point that was made about the restructuring of the public service in line with the economy. I don't believe that is happening at the moment. I think that there's more the opposite side. Or the reform, as I think you used the word reform of the public sector. I think because it has grown almost close to R1 million, and of course it has increased the budget. I was always requesting Treasury if they would not put a cap on what the wage bill should be in total cost, in line with the economy that we are facing. That's not happening. But I think the other point I want to raise under that is the revenue collection of municipalities, not just the public sector, but the political will to raise that revenue for the services delivered is also a major concern, because the less money we raise, the less we're able to balance that income and expenditure. And then the last point is the point you raised about that how we can add value to what we have, you know, whilst we are trying to improve skills. For example, Eskom, that needs to deliver for the factories that we need, or tourism, the issues around tourism in a country, even Robben Island is an example, island, the ferries and so on, the 5% drop in that sector itself, and other areas, the train in the Western Cape at Mossel Bay between Knysna, that has been closed now for how many years. The slow impact on that, I see the economy is affected by, the income is affected by that. And there's been a role players there that's trying to address it. So there's a lot of things, I think, that you've said that we can add value to that we are not managing well, and it's just too much red tape and bureaucratic systems that prevent us between government and parastatals and so on. And that parastatals is actually government institutions. So I don't see why that should be a big problem. It's just hampering our impact on income and able to deliver. I just wanted to make that point. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Liz.
Mr. Chairman, Honourable Mashila's thing is not working. I have a bigger problem. I don't have a thing. No, it's fine. I think, Mr. Chairman, can everyone hear? Am I close enough? Thank you. Mr. Chairman, the question of the early graph with regard to the difference between us and emerging and developing markets, I mean, that's a debate that rages out there, and why are we not getting there? And you're not offering us any kind of insight into what we are doing wrong. It is great to align policy with where we're going, and you've done that. But what is the emerging market? What are emerging markets, or the better ones, perhaps, doing differently from what we're doing? Interesting scenario about the Reserve Bank objectives, and again, I think that's the question Honourable Mashila was saying. You know, you throw it out there and say, well, now think about it. And of course, we must think about it and we must get advice. But what do you think about it? Would be the interesting thing. I am a bookkeeper by profession, and perhaps it's irrelevant. But when I add up the percentages in the allocation of the budget, it adds up to 100.2. So the question really is the allocation, as the commissioner requested, it's in line with the NDP. But does the NDP actually give the formula, or how does that get to me? The QE tapering, a lot of people have their views about the impact that's going to have on us, and in a big way, in a high level, you can make some assumptions. But what are your views about the impact it will have on us? Your
your analysis of the uncertainty of the challenges. Let me just get to the right page. The domestic risks. There's a good list there, and thank you very much for them. And all of them, except for one, you can kind of drill into fairly easily. But the one that I'm uncertain is the policy uncertainty. It's again a major debate out there. But it's so broad, you know. When you talk policy, it's a huge field, and are you able to narrow it down at all? And the question of debt levels has been asked. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Honourable Liz, and I take this opportunity to welcome the Chair of Finance, Honourable Mafumadi. You are welcome, sir. Thank you, Honourable Van Rooyen. Yeah, you'll follow Honourable Mabe.
Thank you very much, sir. Let me also start by welcoming the presentation from our budget office and the leadership of Prof. Chair, I just wanted to check how is this analysis juxtaposed to our medium-term budget policy statement, I mean our October projection, the initial October projections. I'm saying this, Chair, mainly because I think National Treasury as the custodian of our national purse. I mean, it's upon us as public representative assigned the responsibility of overseeing its performance to understand how accurate are their projections. And I think the budget office come in very handy, I mean, to compare their projections, I mean, as they obviously do their analysis. And secondly, Chair, among other things, I mean, I know that the mandate of the budget office is to come out sharply and advise us soundly, so as public representatives, on specific policy interventions that we need to look at to remedy some of the gaps that has been identified, or gaps that are very perennial, well-known, I mean, challenges that our economy is facing. But I miss that does, notwithstanding some of the suggested interventions coming from members, what I miss in the presentation is some specific interventions that we need to be looking at as public representatives, I mean, to turn things around. And I've missed that in this presentation. I think there are no clear recommendations on what exactly are we expected to be looking at as public representatives, you know. I think there are more questions than answers that came out of this presentation. So I would like to know if maybe is it not part of the budget office mandate to come out sharply and advise us as public representatives on specific policy interventions that we need to be looking at. Because from where I'm sitting, this office is meant to empower us as public representatives on executing our mandate. So I will be very much interested to know why do we don't find, maybe still it's still too early, that will happen at some stage. But I feel this is the opportune time for us to be looking at those specific interventions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Van Rooyen. Honourable Mabe.
Yeah. Thanks, Honourable Chair. I feel I need to start by appreciating the presentation and the fact that before 2009 elections, when we were in a small committee of the budget focus group led by the current Deputy Minister of Finance, when we crafted the foundations for the existence of the budget office, it's a good job that we have done, because we felt at that time that Parliament could not rely on National Treasury's information. We must have our own research done, and the Budget Office needs to assist members of Parliament. So I think this is going to assist us as we move further in the future, but also that it will be important. We can't establish budget offices throughout all the provinces or even municipalities. At some stage, we'll have to look at whether the budget office in Parliament cannot also look at budgets in provincial, for a start, in provincial budgets, to check what whether those budgets reflect on the national policies, you see, like the NDP. So that it's not a matter that is obvious, but we need to be sure that across government levels, you know, everybody moves towards the same direction of ensuring that the NDP issues or principles are addressed in the budgets, including municipalities. I need further, you know, elaboration on your indication that public sector reform is very is important. And please link it to the emerging economies, because the examples that you are giving are developed countries, and sometimes we fall short of not comparing ourselves with developing countries because we find our situation, you know, that is similar compared to the developed countries. So can you also elaborate on that one? And furthermore, on I'm quite aware of the impact of the slow demand in commodities. But just for the assistance of all of us, can you further elaborate what the impact will be? Because right now, currently, there's instability in, you know, the one of the biggest sectors of commodities in the country, which is the mining sector. What you know, the impact will be as we go forward. And you know, as you were talking about public sector reform, I think you must also, you know, you must elaborate. We've got, you know, different entities that serve the public, that are part of the public sector. We also have both national, provincial, and local government. So if these, you can show us, you know, give us a microscopic, you know, eye or view in terms of whether the linkages exist or not, you know. And when we say public sector reform, actually, you know, in crystal clear terms, what do we mean? Because we've got municipalities where people are complaining about, you know, services not being delivered on time. We've got national, we've got that alignment, but including public entities as well. And finally, I think I'm fine for now. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mabe. Honorable Van Rooyen.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just two questions. I think I want to also link my question with the Honorable Mabe of Northwest. If it's possible for this budget office to also look at, you know, what can they do on the provincial level, especially this one, the linkages of the 2013 budget to the NDP. I think that's a very important or very interesting analysis, but also if it cannot be done for the provinces, because I think that is one of the questions that we should start asking in the provinces, how does it link with the national development plan? So, you know, because at the moment we haven't got the luxury of budget offices in the provinces, so we're relying very much on the parliament. The other is just a question or small comment is on the global risk. I agree that the quantitative easing is a problem, and it could create you know, some further problems. But what happened to the debt crisis that was averted in December in the USA? Because that was, according to me, was a short-term solution at that time, and the fiscal cliff. I don't think those two issues has been, it's still there. And I think if we get back to it, it might affect the global economy as it is. So I just wanted to know from the budget office, what is your feeling around that? And then just on the domestic risk, I'm a bit worried about the interest rate hike, that you put it as a risk now, because we only had the first interest hike about 2 weeks ago in a long time. So why are you now putting it as a domestic risk at this this stage? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now that Mashilin spoke, you like second bites. I'm declining that. I'm. What is it? you can speak more.
Yeah, Chair, you remember that initially I requested some narrative, but I was talking to the graphs. But, you know, I'm tempted now after going through to actually expand that request so that even these the domestic risks that are tabled here, also we have really the true reflection to the budget, how they will affect the budget, if they could also expand on them individually. And then also in relation to the issues for consideration, that's a lengthy question, if they could actually indicate, because we do have indication of where the resources are going to be allocated for this coming budget. We know where they are going to be allocated. Whether there are deviations in there, you know, like the question that talks to alignment of the budget program structures with plans, and then what is that that in the current framework of the budget seems to be a deviation from the plans that we have or the NDP or whatever. That's what I just wanted also, Chair, just to correct it so that we have a proper document and also to just have an indication when we can have the document which has been expanded. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable members. I think Prof and the team will respond. I just want to remind honourable members that in terms of our engagements with the budget office as chairs of committees, the understanding is that immediately again after the budget, there will be a post-budget analysis. And unfortunately, it would have been ideal if it happens before we engage with National Treasury, which is not practical, Prof, because it usually such meetings happens immediately after a day after the budget, but perhaps the fifth parliament chairs will have to look into that so that there's a space to allow the budget office first to present the analysis before there's an engagement with the National Treasury on the budget, so that some of these things begin to find space in our engagements. But in this presentation, I guess those items reflected under issues for consideration are some of the questions that could assist us in when we engage with Treasury on Thursday next week. You are at liberty to respond to all questions raised now, Prof and your team. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members. I think from the responses we got, we actually did our job, Honourable Chair. I think there has been a lot of prickling of ideas, thoughts, etc., etc. If we had to sit here and do a presentation on each of the issues that you raised, we would have probably been sitting here for the next week and doing papers on individual issues, from quantitative easing to advice on forecast to public sector reform, etc. But that's not the problem. The issue is, I think, what we try to do here is to alert you to what has happened in the past and what the future you could expect and you could rise. But I think important for us is, in future when we do this, Honourable Chair, and the business model of the PBO is such is that the work that will be identified in the four committees, the Finance and the Appropriation Committees, the work will be identified by you to the chairs, and it will then come to the budget office for your undertaking. So if there's a specific issue you want us to do, like forecasting, we'll be able to do it. At this stage, we don't have our own forecasting model, which I think is a massive task in its own. We'd like to get there. But what we'll do at this stage is to utilize a survey, our consensus survey of economists and different organizations out there to reflect what their forecasts are and then present it to you in that sense. Honorable Bashile, we will definitely do a narrative for you explaining these issues, as we go forward. And we'll write it out in detail so that you can actually talk to the, it is there already, I think, Dr. Sikatani. So we will make that available to you. There are a lot of issues, honourable members, which I think you have raised. I'm not going to respond to them all at this stage because I can't. There's a lot of good issues. I think there's a lot of issues that you need to add to the list of questions that we've put here to ask to the minister and not to me. we are your budget office. We're here to support you. This is the first of the engagements that we're undertaking. And I think in future you will refer all your questions to us so that we can then go ahead and do the detailed analysis that you want us to do in this respect. Can I also just ask my colleagues maybe just to pick up Delia on the issue?
Honourable Member, in terms of the question regarding the formula that we've used to determine the percentage of that functional group, we didn't use our own formula. National Treasury allocate the budget in terms of different functional groups. Currently there are about 9 functional groups, of which public order and safety is one. Including in that functional group is defence, the police and the law courts and the prisons are within that functional group. And we only we got to the 9.3% budget calculating the allocation to that functional group as a percentage of the total budget, and that is where the 9.3% comes from.
Honourable Chair, I'm going to answer on the question, why are we saying we're going to have low demand for our exports whereas our rand is very low, is depreciating. The thing is that we need demand for our exports, for us to have an increase in the exports and for us to have an inflow of capital. So if the countries that we are selling to have problems in their own economies, then there won't be a greater demand coming out to South Africa for our exports. You look at our main trading partners, like for the US, they're not completely out of trouble. You look at Japan, their economic growth is expected or projected to decelerate after they had a great pickup in 2013. You look at the Eurozone, they are not completely out of recession. So we expect to get demand from those countries. So if they have problems, even if our currency is low, we're not going to sell as much as we used to sell. So it means we're going to have an increase in our exports, but not in a great quantity. So that is why it won't help us much for us to have a weak rand, but then there is not greater demand for our exports. So it's coming from there. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Member, the question was regarding the fourth versus the fifth slide of the presentation. It's purely a semantic difference, whether you say GDP or GDP growth. Indicated along the axis on the left, it says percentage growth, or the change in the percentage growth. So it's pretty much the same thing, but thanks for picking that up.
Honourable Chair, maybe just to pick up on some of the more critical issues that have been raised. There was an issue about why don't we make specific interventions and recommendations. And I think that is exactly the role of the Budget Office. However, we can't make specific interventions on every topic. You will have to tell us what interventions and what specific studies you want us to undertake. So if you want us to undertake a study of debt or quantitative easing or public sector reform and where, it's a specific study which we'll undertake and give it to you with the necessary lessons of experience, best practices, etc. I mean, these are not studies which you can do a presentation on here, you know, and willy-nilly suck out of your thumb. So we will do those things specific for you if you have identified it in your committees and you send it through to the Budget Office in this regard. If you want specific costings as well of bills or, you know, any other issue or specific correlation between GDP or inflation, we will do that for you. But you then need to tell us this is what you need specifically going forward. I think the purpose of a briefing like this is to indicate to you what potentials there are coming out and what you could potentially raise, as you said, Chair, the questions that you could possibly ask in this case. I mean, an issue like the debt crisis is a very specific research which I think we'd like to undertake. But if that's up to you to decide, you know, if you want to refer this to the Budget Office or not. Honourable Mashile, I think you, in terms of the issues you raised as well, our forecast, look, at this stage, most of the information we use in the budget information, which is National Treasury. So we take that information that we have. We, as a budget office, as we develop, we'd like to develop our databases, you know, going forward, not only of National Treasury, but Stats SA, Reserve Bank, outside information, and we are busy talking to various institutions, and my chair knows this as well, to get this information together so that we can package it in a sense. Hopefully we'll also come to the point where we can give you our own forecast when we have our own model going forward, because most budget offices internationally develop their own forecasting model. This is no easy task. It takes a couple of years to put into effect. But I think what we'll do for the time being is to check what is out there, what the rest of the country is saying, as opposed to only National Treasury and internationally, and present those views to you going forward in this regard. And also projections on fiscal issues, I think that will also be important. It's an area we want to build. For this moment in time, we'll have to use what information is available, as you know, and try and make sense out of that for you. However, again, Honourable Chair, if, as you know, if there's any specific issue you want us to address, this is what we are here for. And if there's any specific item you want us to undertake, this is where we will. What we will continue to do is to provide you this type of information, but I think we learn as we go along, to give you a broad picture, and then for you to decide what specific aspects and issues you want to address, Honourable Van Rooyen, going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Prof. Honourable members, any further inputs, Honourable Van Rooyen?
Thank you, Chairperson. I haven't heard anything from the office of what is their relationship with the provinces. Can they assist provinces, or is it only for Parliament?
Honourable Member, I think, you know, again, you probably need to ask my chairs here. Two of them are here. Three of them are here. So, and they will probably answer that.
No, Honourable Van Rooyen, I think at this stage, the office is for the national parliament. However, because it's cater for both houses, and the other house represents the interests of provinces, we have found it necessary to make sure that each time we engage with the office, we extend invitations to provinces, because we believe that this information would also be beneficial to yourself. And as we interact with provinces, where there's some kind of thing that would want the office to do, you can always do via the NCOP channels, so that we share these resources. but currently it is specifically for the national parliament. So that's why even today we extended the invitation to yourselves, and that would be the practice moving forward. So that we use the office to its maximum. And as for the rest of the other issues, I'm sure honourable members, you are aware that the office has just started, and it will expand as the years goes by until it becomes a fully fledged office that could do all other things that we would want to do and get the necessary support. And I think, Prof, I wish to thank you for the work done, and some of the questions raised as those points that for us to consider, I think they will be quite helpful in our engagements and in us being able to scrutinize and analyze the budget as it is tabled next week. And for specific issues, as you have said, we will definitely continue to liaise with your office and get some more research on some other ideas, and whatever info that will be flowing from that office, as I said, will always be shared with our colleagues in the provinces, so that we move together. And I think I've answered you, Honorable Van Rooyen. It's not a pleasing answer, but that's a reality. Any further questions or inputs on the members? Yeah. the absence of none, let me thank you, Prof, and the team for the job, and we'll hopefully then engage with yourself again in the next meeting. I think we will try to prepare better next time to make sure that all four committees are here when we engage, so that we don't have many meetings. And I thank my colleagues from the Finance Committee in the NA. My apologies, Chairperson. I thought my discussion with the whip without writing a letter was okay, but I was corrected. So we will do better coordination next time. Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you, Prof, and the team. And this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.